See that fist? What ticks God off? What ticks God off? There's some things that God says in the book of Proverbs. Boom! You're reading along and like, nah, poof, just like that. Some things tick God off. And I don't think we're very bright if we know something ticks God off and we keep doing it. Amen? Y'all hearing me say? Hey, look, I said it earlier. Look, if you're married to somebody and look, and certain things tick them off, you ought not keep doing that. That's crazy. You're going to get hurt. Telling you right now. Hey, the other thing is if you work for somebody, if you're employed by somebody and you know this aggravates them and ticks them off, they've said don't do that, and you keep on doing it, that's just stupid. Amen? You're going to get fired. Okay? And the thing with God, God says there's certain things that tick me off. And I don't think we're very bright if we don't go over them and try to see what it is that ticks God off. And the neat thing is you don't have to do any of them. There's seven things we're going to see today that ticks God off. And quite frankly, you don't have to tick God off. You can't say, well, I can't help it. I didn't tick God off. You can't help it. All right? We're all sinners, but these are things that we don't have to do. So let's get into the message. Let's look at it this morning. We start out with Genesis 1, 26 and 27, just for me to say a couple of things. Look at this. And God said, here's in the beginning, great verse on the Trinity, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. Verse 27. So God created man, say it with me, in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Read that last part with me. Male and female created he them. Now, why did I put that up there? I don't think God created you and me to be a pain in the rear end. Excuse me. I don't think God created you and me to be a troublemaker. God created us in his image. And I think many times he is ashamed of us. He said in Genesis, it repented God that he even made man, remember, at the flood? And he destroyed them. And so I think sometimes God just gets ticked off. I made these people. I didn't make them like a dog. I made them like me, man. And I think it really bothers God when we don't use how he's made us and the tongue and the gifts that we have for his glory. Are y'all hearing me already this morning? That's where we're headed this morning. I think because we were made in his image, it really ticks him off when we don't live for our full potential, when we don't exercise, you know, everything that we can for the Lord, and we fulfill our purpose that he's put us on this planet to fulfill. Do you hear where I'm coming from? I hope you do. So let's look at it this morning. What ticks God off? And we're in the book of Proverbs. What ticks God off? You're going to see it right now. Proverbs 6:16. You're reading along in Proverbs, da-da-da-dee-ba-da-ba-doom, you know? And all of a sudden you come to, these six things doth the Lord what? Hate. Kabing. That'll get you to stop, you know? Right there in your tracks. Yea, seven of them are an abomination unto him. So six things he hates, you can't get any worse than an abomination. Hate ain't good, by the way. You can't get any worse than an abomination. So there's seven things that are an abomination to him that he says, don't even think about going there. All right, so let's look at them. What ticks God off? Let's start. Here we go. And there's a lot of stuff here this morning, so we got to roll it, Raj. Are you ready? It's my fault, I know. He always points back at me. Here we go. A proud look. Say that with me. A proud look. Proverbs 6:17. So what ticks God off? Number one, say it with me again. A proud look. What is a proud look? It is pride. It's a proud demeanor. It is a high look. It's looking down your nose at somebody. It's being arrogant. Full of yourself. And here's God. He's the one that made you in his image. And you taking the credit. You acting like you hot stuff? Who are you, man? So this bothers God. Look at some verses. Psalm 18:27. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but wilt bring down high looks. Looking down your nose at folk. Look at it. Psalm 12:3. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips, and the tongue that speaks proud things. Look at me. Look what I did. Look how great I am. You better watch it. Cut off that tongue. It says this bothers God. So what does pride do in our life? Here's what it does. It alienates you from God. Pride alienates you from God. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate, God says. It alienates us from God. Everyone that's proud in heart is an abomination. Can't get no worse than that to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. God hates pride. It ticks him off. A high look, a proud heart. The plowing of the wicked is what? Say it with me. Sin. I'm not saying you can't feel good about a good job you did. Amen? You worked hard. It feels good. You accomplished something. Amen? But you know what? It really is nice even when you do that. Why don't you take it a step further and give him the credit? Amen? Give him the glory. Say, thank you, Lord, that I have the health that I have, that you've given me the smarts that I've got, the education that I have, the job that I have. Praise the Lord. The marriage I have, the family I have. Thank him. He loves that. He's not big on us taking a lot of credit, all right? He doesn't like it. It sort of bothers him, ticks him off a little bit, okay? Proud look. So it alienates us from God, okay? It causes strife and contention, all right? It causes strife and contention. When you and I are proud, he that's of a proud heart stirs up what? I tell you what, you just keep being proud, full of yourself, I guarantee it, you're going to have trouble. One of these days, somebody's going to pop you. Yeah, come on. That's what pride does. It causes problems, strife, and contention. Keep looking. Proverbs 13:10, only by pride comes contention. It's amazing when you're humble and you stay low, how much better you get along with folk. Amen? That's the plan right here, not to be full of yourself. God says, I hate that. Why are you doing that? All right? What does pride do? It leads to destruction and failure. Pride leads to destruction. So not only does it tick God off, it just ain't good sense, friend. Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride ultimately leads to failure. And I tell you what, when you're big and mighty and full of yourself and you fall, that's a hard splat. If you fall from way up here, ouch. If you're already humble and low and you fall, it ain't quite as far. You know what I mean? Stay low, baby. Leads to destruction and failure. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but he will establish the border of the widow. So God is just all over this thing called pride. Something else about pride, it ends in shame. Can you say that with me? Pride ends in shame. That's what I'm talking about. You know, if you brag to big brag, you talk to big talk, and then all of a sudden it didn't pan out. That's shameful, ain't it? Say, you're ashamed. Made this big talk. It didn't fly. It ends in shame. When pride comes, then comes shame. But with the lowly, man, there's smarts. There's smarts, man. There's wisdom. Keep it low, baby. It's better to be humble. Say that with me. It's better to be humble. Pride ticks God off. A proud look. Better is it to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. And then finally, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Amen? God says, you will be honored, and I will honor you if you're not full of yourself. So God says, first of all, pride ticks me off. A proud look ticks me off. Let's look at number two, and we're doing good. This is one of those things, uh-oh, got seven of them. Amen? Here's the deal. Did you see that one right there? That's not something you have to do, is it? Say, I don't have to be full of myself. You might be here today or listening on radio or watching on TV, and you might be full of yourself, but you don't have to be. What's the remedy? Humbling yourself, confessing your sin, coming at the feet of Christ, humbling yourself, realizing it's all about him, not about you. There's a way out of this, man. What ticks God off? A lying tongue. Say that with me. A lying tongue. So a proud look. And when I was reading this, I've read it. I probably read this hundreds of times. But this time I read it and I slowed way down. I saw something I'd never seen before. I should have saw it. But every one of these, or most of them, have to do with some kind of body part or something. You see what I'm saying? So a high look has to do with our eyes or our face looking like we look at us. And then you got the tongue, and you'll see it all the way through. That brought me back to Genesis, which made me think, he created us in his image, man. He gave us all these wonderful features and these abilities to be a blessing, amen, not to be a pain. So a lying tongue ticks God off. Let's look at it. Lying alienates you from God also. All right, Proverbs 12, 22. Lying lips are an abomination. Can't get no worse than that to the Lord. But they that deal truly or in truth are his delight. All right? Second thing, lying separates you from good people. Don't you say that one with me. Lying separates you from good people. Look at this verse. All in Proverbs. A righteous man hates lying. A righteous man hates lying. Good people, when they find out you're a liar, gonna hate your guts. And that's okay, because God does. You hearing me? People that lie are not to be treated like, well, I know, you can't help it. You're a liar, fool. You ought not spend time with liars. You ought not hang out with liars. You ought to say to a liar, you're a liar. Why not? Why should we, you know, pussyfoot? This is crazy. God hates lying. The Bible says Clark's in good company right there if I hate lying. A righteous man will hate lying. Amen? If you hate lying, let's do this. Amen? Come on. We don't like to be lied to, do we? The point is, I'm telling you something. We're not here talking about other folk. This is for us to take in. Are you a liar? Do you lie? Tell you what, it alienates you from God. It alienates you from good people. You might think, why don't I have friends? Why don't people like to hang out with me? It might be you're a liar. Quit lying. It really gets on my nerves. Proverbs 12, 19. Lying is fleeting, by the way. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. What do liars have to do? They have to tell what? Another one. Why? Because that one just didn't cut it. They got to go tell another one. And I tell another one. Why? Because they don't last, man. Truth lasts. Tell the truth. Sometimes the truth ain't easy to tell, but tell it anyway. It's the best way. When my kids, I know a lot of you parents are just like me. It doesn't mean if you tell the truth, you ain't going to get your rear end wore out. But it ain't going to be near as wore out as if you lie to me. That ain't even going to be funny. All right? So tell the truth. But we all deal more graciously, don't we? Even when somebody's done wrong, if they tell the truth, we're cool. We're cooler with it. And we still ain't thrilled about it. But we can handle it a little better, all right? Keep looking. Lying. Lying is really a form of hatred. Look at what Proverbs says. A lying tongue hates those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth works ruin. When you lie to somebody you love, you hate them. That's what you're doing. You lie to your husband. You lie to your wife. Parents, you lie to your kids. Kids, you lie to mom and dad. That's not love. That's hatred. You ought to tell the truth. What can I do to show people I love them? Tell the truth. That's better than flowers, Jack. Amen? Tell the truth. When you see this in families. Good grief. You know, say you love, I love. But you lie, man. That's really showing that you hate us. Tell the truth. Otherwise, it's a form of hatred. See, God doesn't let us off here. He gets ticked off at this. Keep looking. Lying is going to be punished. Proverbs 19:5, a false witness shall not be unpunished. He that speaks lies shall not escape. Let's be honest. Come on. Let's be honest in the church house today. How many of you have lied before? You got caught and it hurt. Can I see your hands? Come on. Ouch. You know what I mean? So it's not like if you're here with a problem and you're a liar, it's not like you're not setting a bunch of liars. No, former liars. Amen? Listen, the point is, it does no good in your relationship with God. It's not really smart if you keep in that pattern. Admit it as sin. Humble yourself. Lying's going to be punished. The desire of man is in his kindness, and a poor man's better than a liar. If you got to brag and do all this stuff and lie to folk, make yourself look better, it's better, you know, to get ahead, it's better to be poor, my friend, and to be able to tell the truth and to be able to live with yourself. What ticks God off? Number three. This is all right in the Bible. Right in the same passage, all these three are in one verse. Hands that shed innocent blood. Would you say that with me? Hands that shed innocent blood. So far, proud look, lying tongue, and God gave us these hands. Aren't they wonderful? The fact that you've got hands, you can work with your hands. You know, I love using my hands to love on my wife, touch her, caress her, my children. Hands are a wonderful thing, amen? I love when I come here, I can take my hand and stick out and shake y'all's hands. I can put my arms around, hug your neck, See, I think that's what God wants us to do with our hands. Amen? To help people. Not shed innocent blood. What is this talking about? God hates murder. God hates murder. That's what he's talking about here. What is murder? It's the intentional killing of innocent life. And I'm not going to get off track here, but not everybody that is killed is deemed as murder. Okay? Follow it through. Even the courts will tell you that. War. Different things like that. Sometimes innocent people are killed, but is it an intentional killing of innocent life? Even on the battlefield, if there's a mother or small children, and for some reason a soldier would kill that person or that older person or a small child, that is murder. Are you hearing me today? Now, I know that's getting skewed today with suicide bombings and things like that. It's hard to distinguish, but God's position is murder is the intentional killing of innocent life. Proverbs 1:11. There's not a lot in Proverbs about murder except this and this verse. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. But this is like a no-brainer that God hates this, right? Say, this is like, no, God ticks God off, all right? But let's look at God's position on murder. Here's the deal with God. Now, you might have a different political persuasion than what God has, but I want to tell you what God says. This is God's position, in case you want to get in his position. Numbers 35:16-18. If he smite him with an instrument of iron so that he die, this is on purpose, somebody who's innocent, he is a murderer. Say it with me. The murderer shall what? Surely be put to death. That's God's position on murder, on murderers. He believes they should be put to death. That's God's position. Verse 17, if he smites him by throwing a stone and kills somebody, and you do it on purpose, and they're innocent, and he dies, he's a murderer. The murderer shall what? Surely be put to death. Verse 18, if he smites him with a hand weapon, it could be of wood, it could be a gun, it could be whatever, and he dies, he is a what? Murderer, and the murderer shall what? Surely be put to death. That's God's position. This ticks God off. There's no other position that God has. Watch it. Whoso kills any person, the murderer, an innocent person, the murderer shall be put to death, watch this, by the mouth of witnesses. Watch that. One witness shall not testify against any person to cause him to die. If one person says, I saw that person kill that other person, and there's no other person to back it up, if there's no corroborating evidence in this country, that person is not going to be convicted. Where did we get that from, our laws of the land? Well, we're not a Judeo-Christian country, are we? Sure we are. We get our laws right here from the Bible. Are you hearing me? Say. It's where we get them from. This is God's position. I want to say something else. Recently, Saddam Hussein was executed. I want you to see what the Bible says about somebody that's even awful, who's a mass murderer, who's a killer. Look at this. Moreover, ye shall take no satisfaction for the life of a murderer who's guilty of death, but he shall be surely put to death. We shouldn't get our kicks. We shouldn't get our thrills. I watch one show, and I like a lot of what they say, but I didn't like the fact they had a little doll with a little noose, and it was a Saddam Hussein, had a little hanging rope around his neck. I think that's pathetic. That's not God's position. A murderer should be put to death, but we should take no satisfaction out of it. Amen? And even with him, it was gross. It bothered me. But just because something bothers you doesn't mean it shouldn't be done. This is God's position. Look at it. Look at this one. So ye shall not pollute the land wherein you are, for blood, it defiles the land, and the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that's shed, but by the blood of him that shed it. Boy, we'd be better off, I think, if we did what God said. We've got a land full of murderers. Our land is polluted with blood. God says his position is a murderer should be put to death. All right, so I got off track there a little bit, but it's important that you know what God says. This ticks him off, all right? What else ticks God off? Number four, I know some of you are going to leave here today. What did y'all learn at church today? What ticks God off? So be careful if you're trying to invite somebody to church. Think of another message I gave before, amen? Oh, you know, last week or, you know, go ahead. Anyway, a heart that devises wicked imagination. Say that with me. A heart that devises wicked imaginations. Now, what is that? Now, that we might have got off on that murder one, but how are you doing here? Wicked imaginations, that's thoughts or plans for evil. Thoughts or plans for evil. You use the mind that God gave you. He created you in His image, gave you this wonderful brain. You can be smart, man. You can accomplish great things in your life. You can change the world. But you use your brain to create evil things, to think of evil things, to plan evil. That could be a number of things, from media to who knows what. It could just be your thoughts about somebody else and you're going to plan this evil. Or something sick. God says, this ticks me off. I didn't give you that fancy brain and your noggin made after my image for you to live like this. God takes this one personally. He takes this one personally. Proverbs 15:26. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord. You can't get no worse than that. The words are of the pure are pleasant words. Jeremiah 17:23-24. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I'll be your God. And you shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I've commanded you, that it may be well with you. Verse 24. But they hearken not, nor incline their ear, but they walked in the counsels and in the what? Imagination of their what? Evil heart. And guess what? They went what? Backward and not forward. If you want to use your mind to think evil, to dwell on evil, to put a bunch of crap in there, you're going to go backward. You're not going to go forward. God has a plan for your life. He wants you to go forward. Amen? That's what he cares for us, man. This ticks him off that he created us and we use our mind for this kind of mess. Romans 1, he takes it personally. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their what? Imagination. And their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became what? It is a wicked thing to read the Bible, to see what God's word says, but you come up with another way you were created. Oh, I came from a monkey. I came from an amoeba. I came from this, that, or the other. If you'll keep on reading Romans 1, read it sometime. It says they started worshiping four-footed beasts and images and things like that. You ought to believe the Bible. Are you hearing me? That's the smart thing to do. No, you live in America, you can believe whatever you want. But the smart thing to do is believe the Bible. Amen? Think like that, man. Instead of dreaming up something that's crazy. Keep looking. How do I deal with my thought life? I'll put this in here real quick because this is a problem. How do we deal with our thought life from the Bible? Here it is, real fast. Number one, we cast down evil thoughts. Say that with me. We cast down evil thoughts. When we have these evil thoughts, these plans like that, we're to cast them down. Casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So we cast it down. Number two, we renew our mind. Say that with me. Renew your mind. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's through the Word of God. That you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God in your life. Renew your mind. Philippians 4:8. Do this. This is a great verse. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's any praise, say it with me. Think on these things. Okay? If you're putting stuff in your mind all the time that's evil, it's going to kill you. It's ticking God off. I know that. It ain't helping you. Have the mind of Christ. Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. How can you have a better thought life? Study the life of Jesus. Watch him. Read about him. Imitate him. Mimic him. Follow him. It will change your head. The natural man, that's a lost person, doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually understood. But he that's spiritual can judge things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Look at this, verse 16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But, say it with me, we have the mind of Christ. It's an excuse to think that we've got to keep this thought mess going in our head like it's going. We can have a renewed mind. We can have good thoughts. It can happen. Here's what happens when you have the mind of the Lord. Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose what? Mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in the Lord. So let's keep looking. Whoo, we're getting there. What ticks God off? Let's look at another one real quick. What ticks God off? Number five, feet that are swift and running to mischief. We're not going to be much longer. Proverbs 16:18. Feet that are swift to running to mischief. Say that with me. Feet that are swift to running to mischief. Have you seen this? Have you seen the thoughts, the mind, the heart, the hands, the feet, the tongue? God gave you all that. You didn't come up. You didn't buy that at Walmart, man. God gave you that stuff. Listen, he wants you to use it for his glory. Feet that run to mischief. What is this? That's ill will or damage towards somebody. You know what I call it? A troublemaker. Somebody that causes trouble. Families have them. Got somebody in the family. Just a pain in the butt. Excuse me. I don't usually say that. Pain man. Troublemaker. In the family. You have it in school. Kids just getting on each other, picking on each other, trying to hurt each other, cause trouble. You have it in church. Of all places, God help us. Amen. People that are troubled. Did you know what the New Testament says? It says, mark those that cause trouble in your midst. And that's my desire and my hope, that if you're in this place and you're a troublemaker, I hope you stick out like a sore thumb. I hope everybody knows that you ain't nothing but a pain. That's a disgrace. God, this ticks God off, causing trouble. Amen? We're here to bless people. Amen? To encourage people. This bothers God, so I'm all right with it bothering me. Amen? Don't be a troublemaker. Let's look at things. Troublemaking is a fool's sport. Proverbs 10:23, it's a sport to a fool to do mischief, to cause trouble. That's a fool's sport. They just like to cause trouble. Let's look at something else. This is my message. Troublemakers usually have a big mouth. That's my experience. Big old mouth. Look at it. Be not envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. For their heart studies destruction, their lips talk of mischief. More trouble in churches, in families, in schools, things like that because of gossips. Big old mouths. Amen, say. Isn't it true? Come on. All right, troublemakers usually fall hard, by the way. When they fall hard. Look at this. A wicked messenger falls into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health. Keep looking. He that hath a froward heart finds no good. He that hath a perverse tongue falls into mischief. I've seen some troublemakers hit the ground hard. Don't be a troublemaker. God says this is a pain, man. Happy's the man that fears, but he that hardened his heart shall fall into mischief. Troublemakers. So that's number five. Number six, we're almost done. We're getting there. What ticks God off? This is being smart. A false witness that speaks lies. Now, it sounds like a lying tongue, but it's different. A false witness. Say that with me. A false witness that speaks lies. What is that? Here's what it is. It's an unreliable testimony. It is untruthful. It's being phony. It's like a witness you put on the stand, but they're lying. They're not the real deal. They're phony. God hates phony. That ticks God off. Phony. You'd be better off to be real right where you are, even if you're just as bad as a day is long. It's better to be real right there. Admit that right where you are. Humble yourself right there and move forward honestly to be something you're not. Okay? A false witness. God said, this bothers me. Jesus said this, beware of false prophets. Matthew 17:5, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. Let's look at some other things. Truth is what will set you free from this and help you to have a good testimony and to be a reliable testimony and to be a faithful witness and to not be phony. Truth will set you free. John 8, Jesus said, then said Jesus to the Jews that believed on him, if you continue in my word, you're my disciples. Watch it. And you shall know the truth. Say it with me. And the truth shall what? Make you free, man. You don't have to be phony. If you come into our midst here, and you will be honest with the Lord, and you say, you know what, all my life I've been in church. I hadn't got jack nothing out of it. I don't have a relationship with God. I don't know if I go to heaven when I die. You know what you'd be better off doing is admitting that. Amen? Admitting that. And start right there. Start by trusting Christ. Start by, you don't have to, so what if it could be a little embarrassing maybe. I don't know, but I could care less, man. I would want to get right with the Lord. Amen? Do that. God will honor that. Truth, man. Get and keep truth. by the way. Proverbs 3:3, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them about your neck. Write them on the table of your heart. God loves it when we are truthful. I love this verse right here, Proverbs 23:23, one of my favorites. Buy the truth and sell it not. Amen? Buy the truth and sell it not. It's not worth anything being a liar or being a false witness or being phony. You buy it, buddy, and you keep it. Amen? You get it and you keep it. Okay, also wisdom, instruction, and an understanding. What else we got, Raj? Truth really works. By mercy and truth, sin is purged. The fear of the Lord, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Verse 7, when a man's ways, look at this verse, please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Amen? When you are the real deal, I'm not saying you're going to win your whole neighborhood to Jesus. Or everybody at work is going to come to fellowship. I'm not saying that. But I am saying this. If you will be a person of truth, if you'll be an honest witness, if you will not be phony in your faith, God's going to even make your enemies and those people that don't agree with you to be at peace with you. It's the truth, isn't it? How many would say amen to that? You work in the world and it does. It works, man. Be a real witness. But they cannot stand it when we're phony. They will hate you and their blood's going to be on your hands and on my hands. What ticks God off? Number 7, he that sows discord among the brethren. Can you say that with me? He that sows. You know, God created us in the garden there. He created man and woman, male and female. And he created us so we can have relationships. Isn't that cool? Kieran is my friend. We're friends. Young man at high school here. I watched you play soccer the other night. You know? Lots of friends. I've got young friends. I've got older friends. Harry, my friend. Taylor and I get together a lot of times, talk, chit-chat. My friend, see, that's the thing that we have as humans. We've been created to have relationships, amen? And it really bothers God. When I created you like me, man, and you can have relationships, and you use those opportunities to sow discord and cause trouble. You see what I'm saying? Say. See, that bothers God. That's what I saw in my office this week. At least that's what he was speaking to my heart about this week. Let's look at this discord problem. He that sows discord among the brethren. Say that with me. He that sows discord among the brethren. And then let's learn a little bit about it. Sowing discord, what is it? Promoting disunity and disharmony. Promoting disunity and disharmony. That happens in families. It happens at school. It happens in churches. It happens at work. God says, I hate it when you use your ability in relationships and to talking to people and things like that. I hate it when you cause disunity and disharmony. Keep looking. Discord comes back to bite you square in the gluteus maximus. Amen? Look at what the Bible says. Look. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now watch it. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not what? Consumed of one another. A lot of people who sow discord in churches were probably well-meaning. They just wanted to get rid of the pastor. Or they just wanted to get rid of the youth director or a deacon or something like that. But so often it comes back to bite you right in the rear because it causes the whole thing to blow up. Are you hearing me? Sometimes we didn't mean it for that. I just wanted to have a little of my way. Be careful with discord. Sowing discord among the brethren especially. Unity takes work. Can you say that with me? Unity takes work. With all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, that's hard. Forbearing one another, that's rough. In love, look at it. Endeavoring, that's rough. To keep the unity of the Spirit in a bond of peace. Well, they're hard to get along with. That's good. They're a perfect candidate to be able to get along with them then. Amen? It's hard, man. That's what it's supposed to be. Unity is not easy, is it? You play ball, whatever. Church, family, it's hard to have unity. Work at it. Keep looking. Unity's worth the effort. I love this psalm. You might want to write this down. This is a beauty. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And then look at this picture. Verse 2. It's like the precious ointment upon the head, and it ran down upon the beard. Even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garment. It's like a beautiful ointment, unity is, that just covers the body, that covers the church. Unity, it's a beautiful ointment. It's a beautiful thing. Look at verse 3. It's like the dew of Mount Hermon as the dew that descends upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. That's what God wants. You know what God wants for Fellowship Church? He wants there to be an ointment that's running down this ministry. Amen? And I hope, again, if you're a person that sows discord, I hope you stick out like a sore thumb. I really do, because that's not our goal here. Our goal here is unity, to love one another, not discord. So what ticks God off? Pop it up. Here we go. Review time. Not going to re-preach the message. Our attitude. You have a proud attitude, or do you got a humble demeanor? Number two, our words. Lying tongue, or tell the truth? That turns God's power on when we're truthful. Touch, your hands. Violent hands, gentle hands. God blesses our hands when they're gentle, when they're reaching out to love people. Our thoughts takes God off, evil mind, turns God power on in our life. That's the mind of Jesus Christ, the Word of God working in us. Our walk, the way we walk, where we go, what we do, troublemaking feet, or do you walk uprightly? You want to do the right thing? Say, that's how I want to walk. Ticks God off, our actions, a phony witness. Your actions speak louder than your words, all right? We see what you're doing. We can't hear what you're talking about Jesus about. Have a faithful testimony. That turns God's power on. And finally, our heart, what's deep down inside of us. If you're a discord sower, that ticks God off and there's a problem with your heart. If you edify others and build people up, that's a sign of a good heart. Amen? Well, let's praise the Lord today for God's word. Can we do that? Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen? We love His word.